Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather that we have and just the time of year, the changing of the seasons, and just the cooler weather that's on the horizon. God, thank you for just everybody that came tonight. Just bless this time that we have together. Help us all to just get something or take something away from your word. Just put me aside as I talk to the kids and just bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We did a study on 1 Samuel on Sunday. So then I was kind of thinking about where I wanted to go or what I wanted to talk about today. And Brianna, last time I taught her a few times back, she asked me for a title. And I was trying to think of like a title and I didn't. And this time I tried to start with a title. I don't know if it really lines up, but what I wrote down or where I wanted to go is, what does your walk with the Lord look like? But I don't know if that's really fitting, so you guys can be the judge of that after. So, yes, you guys all come to church on Wednesday and Sunday. You do all the things, you're going through the motions, but what does your walk look like? You see, as we saw in Samuel didn't have a say in how his life was going to go. From the second he was born, or before he was even born, he was committed to serve the Lord by his mother Hannah. If you guys want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11, we can see where she vows. I'll let you turn there, but does any of you want to read it? You want to read it? Go ahead. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 11.
And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt, indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head.
Hannah was barren. She couldn't have kids. And then she went up to the altar and prayed, and she asked God, obviously, and vowed that if he were to give her a child, that she would give him to the Lord to serve for all of his days. Samuel could have fought this. Like, he could have chose, I guess, not to serve the Lord. Like, he could have, I guess, resisted, but he didn't, as we saw in Samuel. He may have wrestled with it. It doesn't really say much. I mean, there's some instances where he probably wrestled with serving the Lord. But throughout the whole chapter, I mean, he's obedient. He obediently follows the Lord. And because of this, Samuel becomes a prophet for Israel and is tasked with helping the people of Israel know what God is calling them to do. And this is not unlike most of you. When you're saved and you have an understanding of the Word, then we too are tasked with helping the lost understand what God has for them. And obviously, as most of you guys know, that's not always an easy task. The adversary is always going to find ways to throw a wrench into that, into your plans or whatever you're trying to do. So one of the first things that Samuel struggles with is knowing when God is calling out to him. So we're going to turn to chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. Does any of you want to read it, or I can read it? You're not going to read it all. You don't have to read all of them. Anybody? I'll just read it. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here I am. And he ran unto Eli, and said, Here I am, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, For thou didst call me, and he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called unto Samuel again, and the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Three times God calls out to Samuel, and all three times Samuel runs to Eli, thinking he is the one calling out to him. And on the third time, Eli realizes that it's God, it's the Lord reaching out to him, they're calling to him, and he goes and tells Samuel to lie back down and listen. So how often do we like miss God's call? Are there ever times in your guys' life where you're in a situation and you feel the Holy Spirit kind of wrenching on you? You're sitting in service and you kind of feel like, I don't know, God's asking you to do something or to make a decision. I mean, I know some of you guys did at camp, so obviously, like, God was calling out to you or working on you in those times, but you're unsure or you're not simply listening. Do you ever have someone like Eli tell you to listen? Yeah, ask you to listen just like Eli did to Samuel. From this time on, from here on, Samuel, we know that Samuel, the Lord is with Samuel from this time on. But things still aren't easy for him. Israel demands a king, and they want to be like all the other nations. They see all the people around them. They have a king. They're sick of having judges. They've had some pretty bad ones along the way. So they want to be like all the other nations around them, and they want what everyone else has. So we can turn to chapter 8, verse 5, and I'll read it. And said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Samuel's sons just weren't like Samuel, and the people of Israel knew this. They had took bribes and perverted judgment. So they didn't want Samuel's sons to be the next judges over them. They wanted to have a king like everybody else. And Samuel warns them and tells them like what to expect if they do get a king. So we're going to go to verses 10, and there's going to be a little bit of reading, but Samuel's going to warn them about what to expect if they get what they desire. In verse 10. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be his confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give of his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep and you shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye shall have chosen to you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city. Have any of you ever found yourself in a situation where you're pitted against two things, like maybe a friend or family member, and you're telling them that they should do one thing because you know like that's the right thing to do, and they're not listening to that. They're not wanting to do, you know, what's right, or do whatever it is that would be like displeasing the Lord or not the right thing. That's not always an easy position to find yourself in, trying to like convince a friend or a family member, or being stuck between two people that are arguing even, you know, one person might be right, might not, and you're going to the other person who thinks they're right, and you're just having to be the middleman, like Samuel is in this situation. So he's stuck telling the people of God, or the people that God is your king, and then having to go to God and tell him, sorry, they reject you. So obviously Samuel's in a tough spot. It's not really a good place for him to be. From here on out, we see that Saul is chosen as the king, and it's the people's choice, like we learned on Sunday. He's privately anointed by Samuel, and then publicly a little later. Saul and Samuel have a friendship, and Samuel does his best to guide Saul. But it becomes evident that Saul is prideful and that he lets envy get in the way, and he continues on to rebel against the Lord. And because of this, like, he's no longer, his kingship is taken away, and it all, ultimately it costs him his friendship with Samuel. So we're going to turn to chapter 15 and kind of see how this transpires. We're going to be in verse 11, and sorry, but it's a bit more reading, I guess, but through 35. It's just the end of the chapter there. Verse 11. Yep. They're going to finish out the chapter. You guys there? What? You say what book? Samuel 15, chapter 15, 11, verse 11, 1 Samuel. What do we go over on Sunday?
I slept through it.
You slept through it on Sunday?
No, I don't know.
You were awake in class. We kind of have a running pattern, I feel like, the last several weeks.
It's
fine. All right, is everybody there?
Yes.
Okay. verse 11. It repenteth me that, I can start in 10, but then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from me, from following me, and hath not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him upon a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this blessing of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and the stubbornness is the iniquity of and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, and I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to the neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag into pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul and the Lord for Saul, and the Lord repent that he had made Saul king over Israel. Have any of you ever had to cut ties with like a friend, or maybe you haven't had to cut ties, but possibly need to cut ties with a friend that isn't really walking with the Lord, or isn't a good example? Oh, yeah, you don't have to raise your hand. Isn't a good example in your life, or isn't beneficial to your walk? It isn't always easy to move on from someone, yet you've been friends with for some time, or even from family. So as you can see, this makes Samuel like sorrowful. It's not easy for him to do. He's pretty sad over it. So through the three passages and kind of the whole theme that you see throughout Samuel, in his entire life, there is one common denominator, one thing that stayed constant in Samuel's life, and that was Samuel's obedience to the Lord and his faith in him. So in chapter 3, the first one that we saw, when God was calling out to him, God tells Samuel about Eli's family and everything that's going to happen to them, and Samuel has to go to Eli, which is basically the person that's been raising him, and tell him that his family is going to be utterly destroyed because of what his kids have done, and because he hasn't done anything about that. So this obviously just shows a high level of obedience from Samuel. High level of obedience for Samuel at a time that's when he's young in the Lord. And in chapter 8, when Samuel is pitted against the people, he's chosen to guide, and God that he serves, he is trying to steer them in a way that the Lord would want them to go, and obviously they're trying to go in a way of the world. they just aren't having what Samuel's, I guess, they're just not having it. This isn't easy for Samuel, but again, he's obedient to God, and he gives the people what they want. God gives the people what they want. And then in the last passage, you see that even though it saddens Samuel, and it's not an easy decision for him to have to cut ties with Saul, it's something that he does. I mean, it says in verse 11 that it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And then again, in 30, the last verse, nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. So obviously this, like him, that was not something that was easy for Samuel to do. But he does it. He's obedient to what God is calling him to do. So I just like to end by saying that through our walk, if we just stay obedient to God and what he's asking us to do, then he will help to guide us through some of life's struggles as well as the struggles we may face in our walk with him. What? You're supposed to give it to me earlier. Well, that was with my point way back here. It's all good. And that's all. That's all I got. So, I will pray.
Oh, I pushed a button.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
There's a button on my head.